Well, if you would please turn your scriptures to 1 Peter, I'll read to you the verses 10 to 12, those three verses in 1 Peter. I'm going to focus on these verses, but not on all of them, at least on touch them this evening to speak about this great salvation of which Peter is reminding us. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Let us bow our heads before our God briefly in prayer, and let's consider God's Word. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful Lord's Day. We thank you for the reminders to us earlier concerning the significance of this day. We thank you for your blessings upon us thus far, and we do pray that you would also be present among us as you have promised in your Word, and grant us help even as we consider your Word this evening and later as we come together to break bread. We pray, Father, that we would know the work of the Holy Spirit among us this evening. Minister to us. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brethren, we have beautiful words from the Apostle Peter here. Just to give you quickly the context of these verses that are before us, is the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who are undergoing insurmountable troubles and sufferings in life. And he's writing in order to encourage them to lift their spirits to continue with Christ as they are faced with these sufferings. And so many things he writes in the earlier verses about the fiery trials that these people were going through at that time under the Roman rulers, the Roman Empire. And it's not easy. He calls these trials as fiery trials, but he reminds them that they are for a little while. And in comparison to the weight of the eternal glory, these trials are only for a brief time. But yet, they were suffering, and they were going through hard things in life. And the Apostle Peter is encouraging them. We were reminded of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people have been called to suffer for the sake of Christ. And what is Peter doing here? He is reminding them about their great salvation. They've been blessed with that salvation that God the Father has freely granted to them through the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes about this great salvation subjectively and beginning from the opening verses. But now Peter, having encouraged them about this salvation, now he comes here in verses 10, and once again, he takes up this theme of salvation. He looks at it objectively. That Peter is not able to leave the subject. Now, he's not giving them a psychological counsel or a temporary solution to be free of this suffering, but he calls these people to consider the amazing salvation, the wonders of this great salvation that God has blessed them with. And that's what he's doing. And here, once again, as he speaks about this greatness of this salvation, he wants them to consider four witnesses. We are not going to look at all these witnesses this evening. At least we'll look at one of them. The witnesses and how they were searching and wanting to look into this great salvation. First of all, he begins with the prophets of the old. And the salvation is so important to these prophets. He says concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. And these prophets have received prophecies from God. And the prophecies about this very salvation of which Peter is speaking about. These men have come to experience the salvation. Now, this salvation has been given to the prophets through the prophecies they received. But we are in a privileged position. We people can look back in history. We can understand a whole lot of things about the salvation. How God planned it. And how God accomplished it in history. And how God, through the Holy Spirit, is applying that salvation to people. But the prophets didn't live during those days. They did not have the history. They were looking forward. All these were given to them in prophecies. But the prophets wanted to know about this salvation. And here the apostle tells us that they searched and inquired carefully. And these words that the apostle is using here, they're intense words. They searched, they diligently looked into these prophecies, the very prophecies that they received. And they were studying very carefully and diligently. They were searching daily to understand what. Here we see that they're inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. They wanted to know about this person, the Messiah who is going to bring that salvation to all people. And they received the prophecies, but they didn't know much about this Messiah. And they knew that salvation is going to come through Him. And these prophets have heard about other prophets about this Messiah. Not that they were without any knowledge. They had some knowledge. And they believed in this message and the prophecies that they received. But they wanted to know more. They searched diligently, very carefully, and intently. They focused upon these prophecies to understand who this person. Now, who is this Messiah? When is He going to come? What time is He going to come? And these great Psalms that we read, and Psalm 22, Psalm 53, and the many other Psalms speaking about the Messiah who is going to come. The Messiah who is going to suffer. And He is going to be slaughtered like a lamb. And He never opened His mouth. And they wanted to know about Him. They wanted to know all about Him. How He's going to be born. And how He is going to suffer in this world. How are these things going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ? And they were searching very diligently, very carefully. They wanted to know all about it. And not only they wanted to know all about it, on a daily basis studying it, they also preached about this Messiah. They announced the good news of this Messiah. And we are told a number of things here. And in verse 10, if you look at it, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. And the prophets preached as they received this revelation, these prophecies from God about the Messiah. They preached this grace that was to be yours. And of course the grace is a much bigger word than salvation. And the Apostle Peter is actually, by using the term grace, he's speaking about salvation. And God, by His grace, He granted this free salvation to people, even during the Old Testament days. And imagine these prophets preached the grace of God during their time. There are people who don't think that there is grace in the Old Testament. It is all about judgment and punishment and the wrath of God in the Old Testament, but you've got to come to the New Testament days for grace. Well, that's not the teaching that we see in the Scripture. Our God was always gracious. He was always gracious. He will continue to be. There was much grace during the time of the Old Testament. In every prophecy you read, every psalm you read, you hear about the grace of God. God was so gracious. He brought the good news of salvation to the Jews in the Old Testament. And there were many who were saved. David was one of them. And Solomon, Abraham, and Noah, so many. The promise of the grace of God begins with Genesis 3:15. And there we have the gospel of grace, the very beginning, in the book of Genesis. And these prophets preached in the Old Testament about this very grace that these people have received and blessed with. And the prophets not only studied and searched intently and carefully, they were also preaching at the same time the grace of God that is going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? And it is amazing. And also, they not only preached about this grace that was to be yours, he says, they inquired very carefully. Every prophet preached. Think about Jonah, for example. God sent him with a message of good news and the gospel to the Ninevites. The first preacher who received this prophecy to go and preach about the grace of God, but actually didn't want people to be saved. Very sad, and I don't read many men like Jonah in the Old Testament who did that. But he preached, and preached the very same message that we were blessed with. Repent and believe in God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those Ninevites believed in that. They repented, and God didn't bring the judgment on them. Because they turned to the Lord in the fear of God. It was the grace that was preached to them. And you hear that in the prophecies of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, in Hosea, and every prophet that you can turn to. The grace of God was preached in the Old Testament days. And wonderful that the Jews also were converted. And most wonderful thing is that this grace of God is going to go beyond the Jewish nation. And the Old Testament prophesies about that. You read in the Old Testament, it is not just the Jews, but God is going to go beyond the Jews. He is going to save those people who are not called as people. The prophecy of Hosea. The Gentiles are going to be brought in. And can you imagine that in those days, I don't think anybody would have believed there is going to be salvation to the Gentiles. Certainly they would have believed that the Jews are going to be saved. But God is going to go beyond the Jewish nation. That He's going to save people from all corners of the earth. And these prophets, when they received this revelation, they began to understand the glimpse of this great message. Can you imagine how excited and thrilled these prophets were? They would have searched even harder. They studied harder to understand how all these are going to work out. And they, with that excitement, they preached the salvation, this grace that is to come in those days. And you also read that they also preached about the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. They were inquiring about this person and the time that he's going to come. Who is this person? What form he's going to come? How he's going to be born? And they were reading about the many psalms and example Psalm 22, thinking about the sufferings that he's going to face in this world, that he's going to be put to death on the cross, that he's going to give his life as once for all atonement for the elect people of God, that he's going to save them by offering himself on the cross, that he's going to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins for these people whom he loved from eternity. And they were excited. They were reading and studying and meditating on these, and in turn they were preaching about the suffering servant. Isaiah wrote much about it, and the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these prophets studied hard about, in order to understand fully the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they proclaimed that, announced that in their own days, not just about the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories, that the suffering servant is also going to be a triumphant God. He's not going to simply offer himself on the cross and die, that he's going to rise on the third day, that he's going to be seated at the right hand of the Father, that he's going to be the glorious King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to be victorious. He's going to be triumphant. He's going to establish a mighty kingdom with all his people. And they studied deeply and understood with the help of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he's going to return. He's going to return one day. And they also knew, as I said earlier, that he is going to be the one who is going to save people. Save people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ alone who is able to do. He is given the name, the one who is going to save. Salvation comes from him. Jonah preached that. Salvation is of the Lord. And it is he alone is able to save sinners. And they prophesied, and they studied their own prophecies, and they preached this good news of this great Messiah, the great servant of God who is going to come by giving himself on that cross, that he's going to accomplish the salvation for sinners, and he's actually going to save Jews as well as the Gentiles, that he's going to break the middle wall of partition, he's going to bring all people from all nations into his kingdom, into his church, and that he will be the head of the church. And the Father is going to appoint him in that place and to give him all glory and honor and praise. And that's what these prophets studied and meditated, and they announced. And they announced not for their sake, for our sake. For our sake. Isn't that wonderful, brethren? Well, when you think about it, I'm thinking about ourselves this evening. What a great application. These are men in those days who received by the grace of God these great prophecies. They received the revelation, they passed on the revelation to us. They studied their own revelation so intently, so carefully, searching diligently. They wanted to know all about Christ and every aspect of his life and ministry and the salvation, the mighty salvation he's going to grant to people. And they delighted in that. Do we do that? We are in a better position. They did not have the book of Romans to read about all this. They did not have this explicit teaching on justification and so on. We have all that in our scriptures. We have a complete scriptures. We know much more. We are able to look back and focus on the historical events of the Lord Jesus Christ, the surrounding events of all that he accomplished. Do we meditate on that? Do we study this much, searching intently and carefully? Do we do that? Do we delight in our findings? We are able to relate to all that we read. God has saved us and blessed us. What a mighty work He's done to us. Are we being thankful? Are we being grateful for all that God has revealed to us? In turn, are we, with excitement and joy, preaching and teaching and sharing Christ with all people? The prophets did that. Prophets did not have all the knowledge that we are able to acquire from this complete revelation. But they still, they were excited and thrilled and preached Christ. How much more that we should be doing in our day as we focus on Christ, as we study about Him, as we look at our Lord. He is our Lord, the one who has died for our sins, one who has delivered us from our sins and brought us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And how much more should we be excited and encouraged and announce the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to all men in our day, in your country and in beyond, in every nation. It is a mighty and so great a salvation that God has blessed us with. There's anyone here tonight without Jesus Christ? If you have not believed, but you keep hearing about Him, your parents teach you, the young people, you hear from your friends and schools and Sunday school, but you don't respond. You delay. You postpone. Maybe another time. Maybe another day. Maybe I want to see some better things happening. The prophets were not like that. When Jonah went and preached to the Ninevites, they didn't waste their time. That shocked Jonah. They repented. They repented. They didn't want to come under the wrath of God. They believed in God's message. They immediately responded to that message. They saw the salvation from the Lord. Why do you waste your time? What are you waiting for? Every day that is wasted without the Lord Jesus Christ is life lived in emptiness. You need Jesus Christ. The Scripture grants us sufficient evidences of the men and women who are saved by Almighty God and who bless them with salvation. They testify. The prophets are a witness to us. And they experienced the salvation. They prophesied the salvation. They preached to people. And you have witnesses in your own congregation who are saved by the grace of God, who live as a testimony unto you. Why do not you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Even as you watch the people of God partaking of the Lord's table in remembrance of His suffering and death on that cross, as well as His triumphant resurrection and His glory, may the Lord speak to your heart that you would come to Jesus Christ for your salvation. He freely grants that salvation to sinners. And He loves you. And He wants to see you coming into the kingdom of God. And He wants to save you from your sins. Don't waste your time. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will never be disappointed in your life. It is such a blessed salvation that Jesus alone is able to offer you. Yes, very soon you will have a president. People put their hope on one person or the other. History shows they offered nothing. Temporary solutions. They are ordinary men and women. Their power is temporary. They are not powerful as God is. They promise the world to you, and they disappoint you once they come to power. But our Lord is keeper of all promises. He is holy, absolutely. In all His perfections, He is absolutely perfect. He will never fail you. He keeps His word. He said, all those who come unto me, I will grant them eternal life. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be granted eternal life freely. And He is a promise keeper, a true promise keeper. You turn to the Lord for His salvation. May Christ bless you. May you see the true hope and joy and peace in Him as no one else can ever offer you. Come to Him tonight. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank You for the reminder about Your Son to us tonight. We thank You for every opportunity that we have in remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation He so freely offers to sinners. We pray, Father, even as we come together as Your people to celebrate the Lord's death and the blessings that death has secured for us, that You would help us to rejoice with thankful and grateful hearts. There is someone in this congregation without Christ, that You would be merciful to that person, that You would cause Your Spirit to work in that person, that he or she might come to You in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.